Now, since it's 11:34, and I have 26 minutes to minister a message, I'm going to do it real fast. And it's found in Psalms 23. Psalms 23. So let's do it. Psalms 23. And most of you know the story behind this message. It was my precious mom who sent us and put it on Facebook, Psalms 23. And it moved her enough, because she said in her text when she sent it to all of us that it touched her heart. Well, if it touched her heart, then it touched my heart, because we kin. Say amen to that. Aren't we kin, Mom? Oh, I'm not adopted. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 23. Look at verse 1. Are y'all there? Psalms 23 and verse 1. The Lord, who's your Lord, is my shepherd. And we studied out that a couple of weeks ago. And I did a full message on the Lord's my shepherd. Because there's something about a shepherd. Because a true shepherd, who is Jesus, or I shepherd this flock. Man, we have a love for the sheep. And I do. Man, I pray for y'all. Don't talk bad about someone in this church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't. I'm going to go to fighting. Spiritually. I'm gonna use the word because I want to protect my sheep. Matter of fact, I spend enough time in this word that I want to make sure that I'm listening to God on what to minister in this church. And I'm telling you, sheep, being raised in Iran, Texas, Sheffield, Fort Stockton at the ranch, Sonora on the Interstate 10, it's all sheep and goat country. So I've been around a lot of sheep and goat, and I've said it at this church a lot. God does not want us to be fat sheep. Because if you ever understand sheep and goats, especially those old-haired goats, they call them mohair. A long, curly, white hair on those goats. And you got to shear them. And you gather that hair up, or sheep, you shear the wool off, and it makes whatever. Well, if it's long, and it goes, and those goats go by a mesquite tree, it will wrap itself around, and if they're not strong, and a lot of times if they're big and fat, they're just not strong enough, too much weight, that you've got to literally go and find them and get them out of that mesquite tree. And that's what a shepherd does. God wants us to be taught the word of God so that it'll make us free. Why? Because the word of God is truth. And we need truth today more than any other time. There's a lot of weird stuff being taught out there. And if it goes against the word of God, or if it's one scripture that turns into some doctrine and you can't back it up all through the word of God, then beware. Beware. Because that's called a wolf. And a sheep, a shepherd, loves the flock. And then it goes on to say, I shall not want. Well, a couple of weeks ago as well, I ministered on just I shall not want. And you need to understand that God, the Word of God says that God will meet your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's your provider. He'll take care of you. But look what it says right after I shall not want. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. Glory be to God. You know what that is? Rest. I used to do them a lot on Facebook. I'm just not real big on it anymore. I used to do videos and I'd do a message, quick message, maybe 30 seconds to a minute, and I would minister. One of the largest viewed the most viewed video I ever did was about rest. You know why? Because we need it desperately. We live in a very chaotic world, busy, busy. Coming from Leveland and Lubbock, totally different from right here in the Austin area. Up there, everything, I mean, you can get somewhere in a short period of time because everything is north and south, east and west. But here, you got to get around a cedar tree. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, everything is windy, and you go in any of the hill country and it's just, and it takes a little bit longer. The airport is only 30 miles as the bird flies, but it takes an hour to get there, right? And you got to get through some traffic. And it's so busy that it seems like we're not resting much. And here God's trying to say, hey, I'm your shepherd, you shall not want, and he maketh us to lie down in green pasture. Not in some unsoiled land. I mean, he wants us to rest in an area where we can get some true rest. So I begin to study this psalm, and man, it brought forth some very good things. In the Bible, do you realize that rest is both physical as well as spiritual? In the physical part, rest is acknowledged as a physical need. I mean, you need it desperately. Anytime I start getting some blemishes, you might see a few blemishes on it. And I've been not getting these fever blisters very much, but when I get them, you know why? I hadn't rested. I mean, right? I mean, woof. And then I start fighting them. And usually it's just fatigue, right? And boy, it'll get us. And a lot of times we need to understand that rest acknowledges the need to physically rest. And by the way, God grants us sleep and substance. And you know who he does it to? Those who trust him. We desperately need rest in these last days, because if we keep going and going and going, going and going, then we can't accomplish what God needs us to accomplish in these last days. It's harder. That's why there's such a thing as a fast. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I'm not personally, I believe in fasting, but it hadn't been the best thing for me, seems like. You know why? I tried to fast one time, and don't get me wrong, I fast, but. And I thought, okay, you're supposed to give up everything, and it had a little bit of water. Well, for some reason, I decided to start at midnight because I knew I'd sleep through most of the fast. Y'all getting me? And when I woke up, I was hungry. Now, a fast is supposed to crucify flesh so you can hear from the Spirit of God. Right? And I was going to fast for one day, 24 hours at this particular time. And when I fasted, I got to about noon, I was doing pretty good. But then all of a sudden, I started liking things like cauliflower. I said, I'll eat whatever. How many of you know really rest is where we can really go out and do what God's called us to do with some energy? Because when you don't have rest, true rest, then you don't have the energy to even come to church half the time. We want to sleep in. It's Saturday, it's Sunday, it's my days off. When God's trying to say, there's a time when you just need to get in the presence of God and rest. But listen, It's a physical thing a lot of times. So I want to read Psalms. Just hold your place in Psalms 23. But go over to Psalms 127 just real fast. Psalms 127. And again, what are we talking about? We're talking about resting. How how the word says that he makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. And when you really study out waters, man, it's refreshing, right? Especially a good cold water. When you've been working all day, you drink that water, man, it's refreshing to us. But look at Psalms 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. In other words, God needs to be doing your work and not you all the time. A lot of times we try to do the Lord's work. And God's is saying to us in these days, in the last of the last days, that in order for you to do what I need you to do, you need to get some rest and stop doing what I need to do. Now, let me explain that just a little further. God's already done everything he's going to do. You realize that, right? He's already sent Jesus. But a lot of times, we carry the cross with Jesus still on it. Instead of understanding that Jesus is not on that cross any longer, he's been raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's alive in Christ because he's in heaven with the Father. But you and I are the mouth, we're the feet, we're the hands of the Lord Jesus. But we can't do what the cross did by dying on it. So you and I don't have to die for anything. We need to be protected to carry on the mission of Jesus being the Lord and Savior of people's lives. And unless we do that, unless we tell people about Jesus, then they're not going to get saved and they're going to stay indoctrinated like an assassin. But when we get rest, we learn how to listen to God. I don't have to die. That's the point, is I don't have to die like Jesus did. Why? Well, because he did it. So now we just have to carry on what he did and do it by faith. Now we just have to pick up the key of the kingdom, love, joy, peace. You know the fruits of the Spirit, and do what we, that's why, please don't be upset at me when I have to leave and go out there and minister. When I leave and go do a service at the national finals at Resorts World Casino, it's for a reason. It's to get people born again. It's to speak seed into the lives of people. But there's a time when I need to chill out and rest. I need to calm down. Now, look what the last part of the scripture says in 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house again, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. In other words, he's saying, hey, cast all your cares on me. Jesus talking. You don't have to have the care. Listen, y'all, I've heard this and I understand the heart of it, but it's not right. It's wrong. Because I've heard people say, and usually it's from a loved one that's hurting badly, Lord, give me their pain. Now, I've heard that many, many times from great people. Just give me the pain of my son. I'll take it, Lord. Let him not have to deal with it. Or my daughter, etc. Do you realize that is not biblical? Because Jesus is the one that needs to take that. So instead of us taking on the pain, why don't we cast it over on the Lord Jesus? Come on. Why don't we cast it over on Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Man, when we do that, then it's not in vain. We're finally getting rest. And ladies and gentlemen, we desperately need rest in these last days. You can't have the God kind of rest when we're consumed by something. Work, making money, etc. We can't be consumed by whatever we tend to get consumed by, because if we're consumed by that, Really, it's considered a form of idolatry, as it shows an unhealthy attachment to something other than God. Listen, y'all, God wants us to get some rest. He wants us to chill out, because spiritually speaking, as I close, you know, when you rest spiritually, it's finding the rest in Jesus. It's casting all your cares on Him. Man, we can't deal with all this chaos. That's why it's easy for us to, when someone gets killed, murdered, assassined, as they say, on national TV for doing good in our eyes. To them, they think it's stopping, you know, their belief system. And it's trying to. It's trying to stop men trying to be women. And women trying to be men. No. And we're bold enough to say it here, you see. And that's what it's going to take in these last days. But not by hate. Through love. Telling the truth of, listen, God didn't make you as a man to try to become a woman. And see, what's happening is then the youth is getting indoctrinated by what was wrong back in the day as being right, and what's right is wrong. And it's so confusing. Well, that's the enemy, you see. But when you rest and you rest in Jesus, that's what Matthew chapter 11 talks about. Truly having the rest in the Lord Jesus. And then finally, Jesus always sought time to rest. If you ever read the story, and I want you to go read it in Mark chapter 6, about verse 30 and 31, it's right before Jesus feeds the multitudes, over 5,000 people, with two fish and a loaf of bread. But the disciples are coming to him. What about this? What about this? What about this? And then there's multitudes of people that Jesus is preaching and teaching. And finally, Jesus said, disciples, come here. We need to go get some rest. And if you read the story, it's so ironic that really they don't get rest. Because then the multitudes hear that Jesus is leaving and they follow him. And if you read the story, the Bible says Jesus has compassion on them and starts teaching them again. But that's Jesus. Man, he had that heart. But you and I still have to understand that Jesus was trying to say, disciples, you still got to get rest. You need some rest, man. Rest doeth good like a medicine, like just like joy. When you rest in the presence of God, man, there is that true medicine. Because that's what rest does to a body. Man, it gives it time to rejuvenate, calm down. Man, I think today we need rest. But not this kind of rest where you say, yeah, you're right, Pastor. I need to rest from church for about a month. Not that kind of rest, y'all. We just need to calm down and spend some time in the Lord spiritually, and then rest in our bodies physically so that we can carry on the next mission. And I realize some of you older folk, you old gray hair folk like Daryl, that go to bed about, what, 8? Get up about 3? You know, it seems like you don't need enough rest, but you know what he does during the day? Takes naps. Why? Because he's smart. And there comes a time when your body needs to rest. And so I say today in Jesus' name that the Lord maketh you lie down in green pastures. Not on, you know, some terrible place where it's dry and hot, but green grass where there's refreshing water that will fulfill your soulless realm. And today we need rest. But only rest to carry on what Jesus has called us to do and to be. And he's called us to be the head and not the tail. He's called us to be above our circumstances and not underneath them. He's called us to know that we can do all things. Say it with me. Through Christ, which produces strength. And we need strength, and rest will cause strength in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you're doing in the lives of these people. And Father, we again pray over our country. We pray over Charlie Kirk's family, his precious wife and two children, and all the family and friends and the country that was devastated. But Father, the Word says that all things work to the good of them that love you. And I know by the testimony that I've seen and heard that Charlie loved you. But we have a lot of death going on around us, sir. So Father, thank you, Lord, that it's time to rest. It's time to get built back up and just stay in the Word of God. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the rest that we can get spiritually as well as physically. But yet, understand that there's a major call that we all have, and that's to carry on what Jesus has called us to do and be. And that's to get people saved, healed, delivered, and set free to your glory, sir, in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you have never been here before, I'll never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Because I've talked about him in some way for an hour and a half, musically or preaching. And it would be a shame, if you left this place and didn't know him. So I want to introduce the Son of God to you. The Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that draws all men and women to him. If you don't know Jesus, the Son of God, the third of the Trinity, the Father is the first, the Son the second of the Trinity, the Son is the second, and then the Holy Ghost. If you don't know the second, you've got to know him today. Because John chapter 14 says that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get through to the Father in heaven is by him, Jesus. Do you know him? If you left this earth, I'm reminded of Charlie's. He was just preaching, basically, and then in a moment, he was in heaven. You know why? Because Jesus, and he professed it, and he wasn't afraid. Jesus was his Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that man is with Jesus, but he left a family. But what would happen to you if you died and left this earth? I'm saying today, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you'll bust heaven wide open when you leave this place. While you're still living here with Jesus, you'll have heaven right here on earth. I mean, it's a glorious time to have Jesus as Lord. So the question is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? What would happen to you if you died and left this earth? Would you go to heaven or the place that no preachers like to talk about still, called hell? Well, we don't like to talk about it because it's a terrible place. And I don't want you to go there, but you, in order to not go to that place that God didn't make, he didn't make hell for you. He made it for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven. I don't have time to go through Adam and Eve's story that brought sin, but God fixed it and he brought Jesus. And then he said, it's by him that you must be saved, Jesus. What would happen to you if you left this earth? I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask if you're here or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to confess the prayer that I'm fixing to pray. I'll pray it. You confess it right after me. And all I ask you to do is when you pray the prayer, and by the way, it's Romans 10:9 that says if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, believe it in your heart, you'll be saved, born again. So that's what we're going to pray. If you're here this morning and you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to receive Jesus and make Him the Lord of your life. I can't make you, but I'm just going to present it to you. You're going to have to pray this prayer. But listen, you're going to hear a lot of people around you praying this prayer with me, even saved folks. They're going to pray it with you, not to get saved again. They're just learning the prayer or they're praying it with you. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer as well as all you believers. Would you pray this prayer as well? And let's pray it out loud where our ears can hear it. Excuse me. And when we pray it, mean it. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our life if we've never have. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord. I believe you've been raised from the dead. You're seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Today I'm saved. Come into heaven because Jesus is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you never had, but you did today. I want you to, I'm not going to embarrass you and have you come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, sitting or standing, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to be bold enough when I count to three. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and say, I prayed that prayer. Because that's really what you're saying. You're saying, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. If you just did that for the first time, be bold enough, like Jesus was bold enough to die on a cross on the top of a hill called Golgotha for you. Don't be ashamed that you received Him this morning. If you just gave your heart to Him, get that hand up at the count of three with boldness in Jesus' name. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you. Amen. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Four. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Honored. Hey, I'll give y'all two, a couple of Bibles, but listen, y'all that raise your hands, look at me. You're now my brother or sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you. We're in the family of God because preachers hurt just like anybody else. But when you're hurting, look at all the family you've got. Not to try to beat you up over the head with the Bible, just to say, hey, I'm with you, man. We're family. Amen. Oh, thank God that angels in heaven are rejoicing for all of you guys. Y'all, as we're dismissed, if you were watching us, I hope you always let us know where you're watching from. I know from Montana and California and Brazil. I mean, I know a lot of my friends in Brazil that are watching a bull rider. Joao. Is that how you say it, Jay? Joao. Anyway, he watches a lot, man, and has all his family. But if you got saved, let us know. Get a hold of us. Y'all that got a Bible, it's an honor to have you in the kingdom of God. Now, if you live around here and you don't have a church home, I pray that this could be your church home. Am I here next week? Am I? Why don't we, if you've never joined this church, why don't next week we let you join? And it's not that you're not a part already, but it just makes a covenant. So if you want to join, you never have. You've been coming here the whole summer, or I don't care how long, and you've never joined, next week, Heidi, with your reminder, we're going to have people join. But right now, I want to dismiss everybody, but I want you to come and I want you to go and witness a baptism. The baptism, really, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the old you. When you give your heart to Jesus, you come up like Jesus did, brand new in Him, Christ. So we're going to baptize people. I want y'all to not visit if you don't mind. Just come over there and witness it. We'll baptize and then we'll go home. Y'all that need to go home because you got to get to the restaurant before the Baptist, you're more than welcome to leave, and I appreciate y'all being here. All the new people, honored to have you. I hope you come back. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time of learning about rest. We need rest. But Father, we also, with the understanding that it's time to stay bold and let you do the fight, the good fight of faith. And we'll just stay in faith. But thank you, sir, for being our wonderful Lord, our shepherd. And Father, thank you, Lord, again for rest. For the ones that gave their heart to you, I thank you, Lord, that this is their beginning in Christ Jesus. So now start teaching them, sir. Let them come back for Bible study on Tuesday night or Bible study, Sunday school, whatever we call it here at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And it's time we start getting connected with each other. And that's where you do it, at Bible study or at wherever we come to meet each other. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I pray over what a lot of people may not know, the dinner for the family, that a whole family is coming tomorrow, and we gave them this church for free so that they can be a family of a loved one that was killed right down the road, a young man with a wife and a new baby. And Father, we just pray over that family. I'm so heartbroken. But Father, they're still living, carrying on the mantle of that young man. So Father, bless that dinner as they fellowship here at this church. And Father, we just give you praise for a wonderful, wonderful week in Christ Jesus. We say that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.